This is 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, episode 118, How to Raise Confident Children.
Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here.
If you've been following 3 and 30 for the past year or so, then you know that I've been working very hard on trying to have better work-life balance so I can take care of my health in addition to taking care of this podcast that I love so much. I still have a long way to go with this, but I'm making slow progress, and one of the things I've allowed myself to do to lighten my load a bit is to air an encore episode every month or so. This is when I go back into the archives and re-air an old episode that is one of my favorites. I figure new listeners may have missed it the first time it aired, and veteran listeners might benefit from hearing it again. A month ago, I aired an encore of the most downloaded episode of 3 and 30 ever, How to Stop Looking at Your Phone So Much and Why It Matters with Dr. Katie Penry. And today I'm airing the second most downloaded episode of 3 and 30 ever, How to Raise Confident Children with Marilyn Faulkner. Sometimes people ask me, of the over 100 people that I've interviewed for 3 and 30 over the past 2 years, who has been the most fun to talk to? I've interviewed some really fun people, so it's hard for me to say definitively, but Marilyn Faulkner's name always pops into my mind first thing when someone asks this question. She's hilarious, warm, real, and just an all-around delight. And I hope you enjoy my conversation with her, whether it's your first time hearing it or your second. But before we dive in, I want to announce one thing and remind you of one thing. First, my big announcement, and I feel like I should have a drum roll for this. Tickets for my spring Declutter Your Motherhood workshops are for sale now, and I couldn't be more excited. For the first time ever, I'm traveling east to host a workshop, and I hope you'll join me in Alexandria, Virginia on Saturday, March 21st for a full day of learning and clarifying what we want for our motherhood. This is coming up in less than a month, so don't delay. If you are anywhere near Alexandria, pause the show right now and go grab a ticket. My second workshop will be Saturday, April 25th in Pleasant Grove, Utah, and this is the only workshop I'll be hosting in Utah this year. So if you've been eyeing this workshop and you live in that area, please join us in April. If you ever feel unfulfilled, overwhelmed, or lost as a mother, or if you just want to prioritize having more joy and more fun in your daily life with your kids, these workshops are for you. Now is the time to get your ticket at the early bird price for both of these events. So go to 3and30podcast.com/workshops, tell all your girlfriends, and come declutter your motherhood with me. And now for my reminder. This is the last week of our awareness campaign with infancy, so be sure to call a participating optometrist this week to get your 6 to 12 month old baby scheduled for a free eye exam, and then email me to let me know that you've done that so you'll be entered in the giveaway. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, our sponsor this month has been Infancy, a nonprofit program from Optometry Cares, the AOA Foundation. They want to spread the word to as many mothers as possible that the American Optometric Association recommends that babies receive their first eye exam between the ages of 6 to 12 months old, so that any possible vision problems do not go undetected into toddlerhood and childhood, which can lead to behavior and learning challenges. Through this program, over 20,000 optometrists across the country provide a free infant eye exam for babies who are 6 to 12 months old, and all you have to do is go to infantc.org and enter your zip code to find a participating optometrist. This program is ongoing, so you can call for an appointment anytime, but if you do it this week, you'll also be entered to win a care package of some of my favorite baby items. And we have some amazing products in these care packages, including a full gift set of bath products from Tubby Todd Bath Company, baby band sunglasses provided by Infancy, a luxurious nursing bra from Avon Bras, an ingenious sippy cup or toy clip from Creative Change Designs, and a mindfulness journal for moms from Jot Journals. If you want to see some of those products, you can go to 3and30podcast.com/infancy and also see all of the giveaway details. Many thanks to Infancy for their support of 3 and 30 Podcast. And now onto the show. Here's my conversation with the fun and fabulous Marilyn Faulkner. Back in November, right when my podcast was just first getting started, in fact, I'd only published 3 episodes at the time, I attended a branding workshop to help me get focused and gain clarity about my mission and what I hoped this podcast would offer to listeners. The workshop was put on by Allison Faulkner, who many of you might know as The Allison Show on Instagram, or you might listen to her popular podcast, Awesome with Allison. I went into the workshop knowing that I was going to get some valuable guidance on building my podcast, and I also knew that I was going to get some good laughs because Allison is known for her completely out-of-control dancing, which I might add did not disappoint because there was some pretty great dancing at that workshop. But what I did not know as I headed into the workshop was that I was going to meet some truly incredible women who would brainstorm with me and encourage me and who would become future guests on this podcast. And today I'm interviewing one of them. And honestly, she's probably the most important person who was at Allison's workshop that day, because without her, Allison wouldn't even exist. I am interviewing Allison's mother today on 3 and 30, Marilyn Faulkner. And let me tell you a little bit about this incredible woman, because though she'll gladly claim the title of Allison's mom, there's so much more to her than that. She has a master's degree in literature and 4, almost 5 published books. Marilyn and her husband, Craig, have raised 5 rock star kids who, like their mother and their father, have followed all their passions and found success in their chosen paths. I already mentioned Allison, who's a writer, podcaster, and a branding expert. And you may also know of Allison's sister, Andrea Williams, who's the founder of Tubby Todd Bath Company, which is a great company that sells all natural body care products for little ones and for moms. And then the 3 boys in the family aren't slouches either. Kirk got a master's in screenwriting from NYU. Evan is the head of acquisitions for a real estate investment trust, and Blake works for the global marketing team at Adobe and is headed to graduate school soon. So some really impressive kids. But I do want to emphasize that it's not just what they do, it's who they are. Kind, vivacious, committed, service-oriented, and confident people. And isn't that what we all want our kids to grow up to be? So my question is, how do we raise kids like this? And Marilyn's going to give us a little insight today. I'm so thrilled to have her on the podcast. So Marilyn, welcome to 3 and 30 Podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here. And it's much easier to think of what you did wrong with your children and the mistakes you made. Mm. And it is very hard to go back and say, well, what have I done? I mean, something happened. It can't be pure luck that they seem to be doing pretty well. But I did often say to them as I was raising them, just make a note of this because you'll need to tell it to your therapist later. And I was kind of kidding, but that has actually come true. And they have actually talked to their therapists about the mistakes I've made. So I just like to start out by saying, all you moms, it's okay if you're screwing up. As long as you do a few things right, it may turn out okay.
I love that. That's such a hopeful message. And I just really admire you as a mother.
Well, thank you.
And one thing that I loved that you told me at Allison's workshop was we were in our little small group meeting together, and you and I were talking, and you said how meaningful it was for you to see your grown child up on the stage teaching, doing her thing, and just realizing how confident and how she was shining and in her element, and what that was like for you as a mother to watch that. I just loved that. I love that because I'm a mom of little kids still, 3 and 7. And so it gave me great perspective to think they're going to grow up and be awesome people. And sometimes the tantrums and everything that I'm going through right now seem so hard, but it's going to be worth it.
Well, yes. And it's they're going to start to bring stuff to you. That's I was raised by a wonderful mother who was not a very confident person. She had a great many fears. She suffered from some depression. And in fact, after my father died, she didn't leave her house basically for the next 10 years. It was my dad who really helped her get out there into the world. She had 8 children and she liked being in her home. But the positive side of that was that we were her friends. Mm. She just loved us and she got the biggest kick out of us and she enjoyed us so much. And as we got older, she was always saying, "Oh, you teach me so much. I learn so much from you." And I think that was a great confidence builder in all of us. But it was also a big surprise to me that when my kids grow up, it's true. You learn so much from them. And it's such a thrill when they can turn around and bring that wisdom and insight to you instead of you having to do everything. Yes. It's pretty great. So it is something. Young moms, look forward to that. Your kids will grow up and they'll be smart, interesting people, and you'll really enjoy knowing them. It'll be fun.
Oh, it does give me so much hope to think about with my little ones. So we're going to talk today about raising confident kids. And I wanted to make the point before we start that confident doesn't necessarily mean outgoing, willing to dance in front of thousands of people like Allison. It doesn't mean that they have necessarily will have big careers or in the public eye. To me, what it means is just that they are confident in who they are and what they offer the world. And just even sometimes that's just quiet confidence. So what would you add about that?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. We're raised in a system where we are rewarded for things that show. If we test well, if we can play the violin, if we can sing, if we get straight A's, we get lots of kudos if we're good athletes. And I used to say to my kids who have really none of those skills, they tried, but we just don't, my husband and I don't either. I used to say to them, your talent is your personality. And I echo what you're saying, Rachel, in that it doesn't necessarily need to be a huge personality, because you think of the night that you had a baby in the middle of the night, the nurse that came in and sat with you and was quiet with you, how much you appreciated that. I mean, there are things that we can bring to the world that are different than just being huge and visible. Mm. And I think that early on, hopefully we can appreciate the gifts that our children have and begin to encourage them that little set of gifts that they have can make the world a better place. And it won't necessarily be the ones that are on television.
Yes, I love that. Your talent is your personality. So I think that is such a perfect lead in to what we're going to talk about. What is your first takeaway or bit of advice for us about how to raise kids who are confident in who they are?
Well, I think the first thing that I would like to emphasize is that criticism is dangerous stuff. Criticism is very powerful. It's dangerous. And I think we should consider it more like a medical procedure than like a way of life. I heard some advice early on in my marriage that made a big difference to me. A man said, if you think of your marriage as building a wall or a fortress or a structure, when you criticize, you're taking bricks off. And you simply can't build a wall by taking bricks off. So sometimes you have to take a brick or two off. Something is defective. It has to happen. But it's something that should be done carefully and thoughtfully. Because when we begin to criticize a child, we are, in a sense, deconstructing that child for a few moments. Mm-hmm. One thing that is true about criticism is that it's generally very specific. I am criticizing you because your room is messy. I'm criticizing you because you eat with your mouth open. But when I praise you, I generally am not as thoughtful. I'm not very specific. I'm just, honey, you're a good girl. That was a good job. And that means that my criticism is more powerful than my praise. And so I'm actually taking more bricks off because I'm using powerful criticism. Mm. So I love a book by Stephen Covey called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I read it many, many years ago, and he talks a great deal about that in this book. And one of the things that he asks you to think about, which I have thought about, if you think about it in this way, it will help you. He talks about criticism and praise as deposits and withdrawals from a bank account. We have an emotional bank account with every person in our lives, mm-hmm. and we are making deposits into that bank account by the positive, supportive things we say. We're taking withdrawals out when we criticize. And there's a balance, and you can get overdrawn. And when you think about the number of criticisms that a child receives every day, not just from you, but from all of the encounters they have, their friends are mean to them, their teachers are tough on them, and then they come home and you've got stuff to say mm-hmm. to them, it's pretty easy to get overdrawn. And so we need to be thinking, before I say something critical, have I made enough deposits that there's money in the bank? They can stand it. You know, they can take it. We won't get overdrawn. I think that's a very good thing in marriage as well, by the way. If your children hear you as a couple taking bricks off the wall all the time, that also will erode their confidence. It's just a kind of a feeling in the home where we're either putting bricks on or we're taking bricks off. So that's the first one. Criticism is dangerous. You cannot build a wall by taking off the bricks.
That was a major light bulb for me when you said that criticism is usually specific and praise is usually general. I'm like, oh yes, that is so true. And I did want to point out to listeners that last week, or I guess it will be 2 weeks ago since when your episode airs, we had a licensed marriage and family counselor on who talked about specific ways to praise our children. So it's not so general. It is more specific. And so if people want to listen to that episode, they'll have some ideas of how to make some deposits into the account so that when they need to make some withdrawals and make some corrections, there's enough positive in the account to not overdraw that relationship with that child.
Yeah, I listened to that episode and I got so excited about that because I had the point that criticism is specific and praise is not, but he just takes it so much farther of showing you like four different ways that you can positively praise your children and really build that. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, thank you. I thought it was great too.
What's his name again?
Tony Overbay.
Tony Overbay. Okay, great. That was great.
Yeah. And then what is your second takeaway about how we can raise confident kids?
I think that it's wise to treat your child like an intelligent adult, like the intelligent adult you hope that they will become. And I think they will become that person. I read a book many years ago called Miss Manners' Guide to Perfect Children, I think it's called. Isn't very funny. And one of the things that she talks about in that book is how to talk to a child. And her whole point is you should talk to a child like they are an adult. In other words, if you're sitting next to a child at a meal, what would you say to an adult? Well, you'd ask them about their favorite books and movies and what they like to eat and what they like to do. You wouldn't talk to them like a child or like an adult. You just talk to them like a person. Mm. Once again, I was very fortunate in having a mother who needed a friend. She had four sons before she had me. And she was ready for a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And from the time I was very young, she talked to me just like a friend. And in fact, she talked to all of us that way. But I particularly felt, because I also loved to read and she loved to read, she talked to me like I was a friend. I don't ever recall, I was raised in a religious home where we went to church a lot, but I don't ever recall my mother like telling me to read my Bible or read my scriptures or do those things. But she had one on a wire rack on the kitchen table. And in the midst of her chores, she'd always go over and she'd read a little bit. And one day when I was about 10, she said to me, Marilyn, I have a question. Do you think Jesus was married? And it just, I thought, what? And she said, well, you know, he's 30 years old. He started me. She had this whole thing. She'd been thinking about this as a pretty intellectual question and even a controversial one. Mm. They weren't talking about anything like that in the children's primary at church, let me tell you.
No.
Well, she said, well, look, he could stand up in the synagogue and you could only do that if you're married. I mean, she just treated me as if I was on an intellectual level with her. Well, I scurried into my room and got the little New Testament that they had given me at church and I started to read it. And I read the New Testament when I was 10 in order to be in the conversation with my mother. Mm. I think there's something very, very important in that, if you are having interesting conversations with your children, they will scramble around and try to get smarter and brighter in order to engage in that conversation.
Yeah. And what strikes me about what you just said and that story you shared about your mom is talking to your children at all. Like, I think that it's easy to just address them about the things, specific things that you need to, like, pick up your room or how was school, or, but to engage in conversation with them as a friend, just like you would if someone else was visiting your home, I think is huge, to show them that I see that you're there. I recognize you. You're important to me. You're a valuable companion. So talking to them about the things that matter to you and that you're thinking about, and letting them into that world.
You know, just I am interested in your opinion, and I'm just going to let it flow here and let you just kind of talk to me. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. I do think that this also builds on your first takeaway about criticism, because you wouldn't criticize an adult as freely as you sometimes criticize a child.
You know? Oh, heavens no. You wouldn't talk to your worst enemy the way you talk to your children. Or else you wouldn't have any friends.
So true. So
you have to, and along that line, you have to be very careful. You don't label your friends. You don't say, you always do this. You never do that. You're this kind of a person, you know, or else that person would stop going to lunch with you. And so I think you need to be very, very careful once again with your children of just kind of throwing out these blanket statements about what they're like. And who knows what they're like? Yeah, because I don't like people to tell me what I'm like, you know, unless they tell me I'm lovely and funny. So I think these blanket statements are a little bit dangerous. And that goes with the criticism. It kind of goes with the talking to them like they're an adult. You know, treat them with that respect.
Yes, definitely. And then what's your third takeaway?
My third takeaway would be to go ahead and have a fulfilling and productive life of your own as you raise your children. You should model happiness for them. Mm. When I left college, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but my graduate director handed me the honors reading list from our university and said, read these books while you raise your children, and it will help you think what you want to do next. And I didn't really, and I thought, eventually I'll get married and raise children, and that will be forever. That's what raising children feels like, is forever. Right. And I even had 5 of them. So that's a bigger investment in time. That's more like 30 years than 20.
Yeah.
But most people only spend a couple of decades raising your children, and we really live to be old these days. And so I actually did that. I began to read those books. And as I read those books, as I raised my children, it had a big effect on how I raised my children, because we were talking, I listened to books, we talked about books. Also, I began to get more and more focused on literature and realized I wanted to get a master's degree. And I was 40 when when I went back to get my master's degree. I drove to the university the day that I dropped the 5th child off at preschool for the first time. I mean, it was that day. School had started 2 weeks before, but I had to wait till the last child went to preschool. So I went and got there 2 weeks late. But then for the next few years, 5 years it took going part-time, my kids did homework with me. I had homework to do. They had homework to do. They listened to Dickens in the car because I needed to get the book read. They were involved and I was involved, and they all came to see me get my master's degree. And it was a great moment. I get a little choked up thinking about it, because I think they were as thrilled as I was. Mm. And there is a real fine line between, it's very much a me generation and everybody's got to go out and do their own thing. I really believe in sacrificing to be with your children as much as you possibly can, and in giving them some of the years of your life, but don't give them your whole life. Mm. Have a life. And so I did. I stayed home with my kids as much as I possibly could, even though we were building a company and I had to work at times. But there came a day that they also needed to help me begin to get some life going too. And I think they roll with that, and it helps them see that life is long and that there's a lot to it.
Yeah. Well, and I love the point that you made that you were modeling happiness for them. You were modeling the things that you loved and giving them permission to follow their dreams and love what they loved as they grew older.
Yes.
I feel like I have a personal experience with that just this past year. where I've always been home with my kids. I taught for 5 years. And then when my son was born, I decided to stay home. I felt like I was raised in a religious culture where that's encouraged. And so it felt like what I should do and also what I wanted to do, I did. And I did it for about 6 years. And honestly, it was very, very difficult for me every single day. I missed this teaching part of my life and who I am. And I really struggled thinking, why don't I love this more? Isn't it supposed to be natural for me to just nurture? And last year, I kind of looked in the mirror one day and I just realized this doesn't fit. Like, and how long am I going to try to force myself into this box that doesn't fit? And I'm not happy. And that's not good for my kids either, to see that their mom's not happy. And I really thought, I mean, there was a lot of guilt that went into this and tears. But I really, in the end, thought I would want Sally to do what she loved and to not feel like she had to be a full-time stay-at-home mom if that isn't what fit. And so this year I decided to put my daughter in a 4-day-a-week preschool. That's most of the day. It's similar to what my son does in first grade. And I started this podcast and I started working some for my husband for his business. And when my kids get home from school, I am all in. So they get home about 2 and I'm like feeling fulfilled and I'm all in. And I feel like I've never been happier as a mother because of the decision that I made to follow my heart and realize that I didn't have to fit in the same box as I thought that I would, or that as I saw other women in, and that it was okay, that my kids would benefit from seeing me model that.
Well, I applaud you for that. You know, we have started 2 companies over the years. And when we started the first one, Andrea was a baby and Kirk was in kindergarten. That means I had 4 kids under the age of 6. And because, you know, I was 26 when I started having babies, and I thought, oh, I'll just have 4 or 5 babies in 10 years and this will be great. You know, it just didn't even seem like a big deal. I really had no idea what I was doing. So anyway, when we had this idea, well, I needed to write the products. Craig was a stockbroker and he had come up with a training course to do. And it ended up being 500 pages in 13 binders with 350 slides. It was a year of work that we did on this. And then after that, I needed to go into work to continue to write products. So I had these little girls that were not even preschool age, and I had to take them, put them in daycare for a few hours a day. So I understand what you're saying. I also had the same reaction as you. I had been working a few years when I had my first child. And to me, I thought I was just going to love it. And instead, it seemed like watching paint dry. You know, I was just kind of around the house and there was no one to talk to. And so as my daughters have come forward, and it turned out in our family, the 2 girls are the Craigs. The 2 girls have really inherited my husband's entrepreneurial spirit. And that means they have to go to work. And I've been behind them 100% on that. I feel like they're wonderful, committed mothers of 3 children each, and they are tremendous with their kids, but they are making the life that is presenting itself to them. And that is a tricky thing to do. It doesn't look like anyone else's life. Yeah. And that's one of the things that you have to, as a parent, I think you need to really support your children and say, hey, you know what? Your life doesn't need to look like mine. Mine doesn't need to look like yours. It just needs to be a good life.
Yes. And I do feel like I want to emphasize that for some women, being home fulfills them and they have a wonderful natural instinct with their children, and they do all the things well that I honestly wish I could do, you know? Well, again, this goes back to like your personality is your talent. It doesn't mean that you have to work to be valuable or not work to be valuable. It's just knowing who you are and then having the confidence to say, I can pursue that and it's okay for me to be me.
Absolutely. My son, Evan, his wife was a world-class soccer player and a CPA. And of all the women in our family who I thought would go on working after they had children, it would be Megan. But she found, as she had her babies, that she was working as a CFO of a company. And she found as she had her babies that she just loved being home with her children, and she was good at it. And she kind of brings that same type A personality to it where she can't do it halfway. And she is the greatest stay-at-home mom you've ever seen. And it's, but I, once again, I so respect her for just embracing that about herself and saying, hey, who cares if I'm a CPA? That can, I can just set that aside for a while. Anyway, I love it. I love it. And I think that's part of confidence is just being able to say my life and my love doesn't look like anyone else's.
Yes. And showing our kids that they can do that too. So I love those three takeaways. I was wondering if before we end, if you could recap them to remind the listeners of what we've learned.
We begin with the idea that criticism is dangerous ground. Be careful when you tread on it. You cannot build a wall by taking off the bricks. The second one is to treat your child like the intelligent adult you hope they will become. And I think they will become that intelligent adult. And the third is to have a fulfilling, productive life as you go, as you raise your children and model happiness for them. And that will be the biggest example they could have.
Yes. And these three things will definitely help them to gain that confidence and self-assurance that we want all of our kids to have. So I thank you so much, Marilyn, for your time and your wisdom. I did want to read when I first asked you to come on and we were kind of brainstorming some ideas about what you could talk about. You said this part in your email that I loved and I wanted to read that when we closed. You said, I'm assuming that you want to know, how do you come up with an Allison and an Andrea? I really don't know the answer to that. I think it might just have been pure luck, but I'm delighted to take some credit to go along with the gray hair I have to dye every month.
Yes, that's exactly true. Well, yes, we're fortunate. I think that is a really good point in that there is an element of chance involved. Sometimes you get dealt a very difficult hand with a child. And you know, you listen to all the self-help things in the world, and there are some kids who are just going to have a very difficult time. Don't blame yourself. It's you're doing a good job.
Yeah, and you still do all of these things for that child.
Absolutely.
And so thank you for ending with that. And I'm so glad that you are willing to take at least a little bit of credit and teach us a little bit.
Well, it was fun to talk to you.
Now you tell me, was that episode worth an encore? I think it was, and I hope you learned as much from Marilyn as I did. If you're interested in hearing more of her wisdom, she actually came back on 3 and 30 several months later to teach us what to do when we realize that we can't control our children. So if you have some strong-willed kids, I suggest you hurry on over to episode 43, and I will put the link to that in the show notes. Friends, don't forget to grab your ticket to my Declutter Your Motherhood workshops this spring at 3and30podcast.com/workshops. And I hope you have a fabulous week building up your children and helping them to develop more confidence.